What was lunch like when you went to primary school? For me, it was a frozen popper, a sandwich and a piece of fruit, or sticky taping some coins to a brown paper bag for a meat pie from the tuck shop. Well, these days, school tuck shops are struggling. Teachers are paying for kids' lunches out of their own pockets, and some primary schools are hiring chefs, and yet many kids are still going to school hungry and without lunch. So why is lunch a growing challenge for Australian schools, and is a national school lunch program the solution? Bex Spink is the principal of Werri-Jerri Primary School in Victoria, and Rebecca Golly is a professor of nutrition and dietetics at Flinders University. Beck, I'll start with you. Your school has hired a chef. Tell me what led to this decision.
Yeah, so we have hired a chef, Mike, his name is. He's amazing. We've only been open since January, and our school meals program has been up and running since September. So we're still early days. But the decision came about early on. Obviously, I was familiar with a lot of the research around the benefits of having school meals in schools. So I really wanted to think about how we could do that from the ground up, starting a new school. I also was lucky enough to travel overseas and see it in action in other countries. So just thought I'd give it a go this year after speaking with members of the community as well. We knew that it would be a valuable contribution to the students and families at my school.
So what's on the menu today? What kind of things are the kids eating?
Well, it's a curriculum day here today, so there's no kids at school. But depending on the day, sometimes it's lamb kofta with rice and vegetables, beef bolognese, pulled chicken with flatbread and veggies or salad, lots of curries. I think Friday we had sticky lamb noodles. And we also have a vegetarian option every day because we have a very multicultural school community. So we have a main option and a veggie option to ensure that all children at our school have a choice.
It sounds delicious. It sounds amazing. Who's paying for it?
Parents at the moment. So Victorian schools are the least funded schools in the country, so we can't afford to pay for it out of our school budget. However, our parents contribute $5 per day per child to ensure that we can provide those meals. And many of the parents in my community have said that they're now spending less on food than what they were before.
Interesting. Well, Rebecca Golly, you're the nutrition and dietetics expert in the chat. Listening to Beck telling us about the school, the chef that they've got, it's actually not the only Aussie school that's hiring a chef. You've been studying similar programs elsewhere.
Correct. So a couple of examples from different states around Australia. So we've got a partnership with the School Food Project, which has been founded by passionate chef Theanna Peters. And Flinders has been involved in the setup and evaluation of a chef-led program at Berrima Primary School in the New South Wales Southern Highlands. Again, the school community has gotten behind this program, and similar to Victoria, they've repurpose the money that families are already spending on lunchboxes each day, but instead children there are eating together, and for, similar $5 a day for morning tea, lunch and afternoon tea, their food's prepared by former MasterChef contestant and renowned chef Sarah Knights. And in South Australia, we've been working for a long time, over 3 years, with SA chef Duncan Wedgbold and his restaurant Africola Canteen, and also a local catering company called The Prep House. So these programs, these chefs are feeding nearly 1,000 Aussie school kids high quality, nourishing school food each week. And there's really a network of chef-led programs emerging around the country.
This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor with Beck Spink, who's the Werri-Jerri Primary School Principal, and Rebecca Golly, who's Professor of Nutrition and Dietetics at Flinders University, talking about school lunches. And I asked you before what was in your lunchbox. I started sharing without invitation what was in my school lunchbox as a kid. On the text line, someone says, remember roll-ups? Not sure of what nutrition value they were, but they were the fave in the 90s. Rebecca, I'm thinking about what I see on social media. It feels like kids these days are going to school with bento boxes, and it's all very healthy compared to the roll-ups that this texter and I would have chowed down on in the 90s. But that's really hiding a pretty worrying trend about how many kids are going to school without lunch at all.
Yeah, correct. So at the moment, Australia, we're in the middle of a perfect storm that's been building up over the last few decades. You know, we can have fond memories of foods like, you know, muesli bars and roll-ups, but this type of convenience food that's highly packaged, highly processed, you know, that is becoming the norm. I've seen lunchboxes with, you know, four or five packets of chips with two parents working. Sometimes that becomes the norm. But again, if you dig deeper, we're finding that the cost of living pressures means that families are having to find nearly $1,000 per child per year for the school lunchbox. So the squeeze on the family budget, we're seeing increasing numbers of children attending school each day with empty lunchboxes. It's up over, you know, 1.3 million children around Australia, and the number of children coming to school with no lunch has increased by 28% since 2022.
And you're seeing teachers paying for kids' lunches out of their own pockets.
Yeah, so schools do everything they can. Like schools, I'm, you know, every principal and school community I talk to, the children's welfare and readiness to learn is their top priority. So they do use their sort of social justice or, you know, a bit of money to, you know, support schemes like Food Bank and Eat Up to be able to access those sort of food relief models. But the stories of teachers chipping in so that they can have, you know, white bread, a Vegemite, a piece of fruit available, you know, they go above and beyond every day just to make sure that kids have something in their bellies to help them stay engaged and ready to learn.
Beck, you were saying before that you've really had this as part of your school from the very beginning. Maybe you can't compare, but what does it mean in the classroom to know that every kid at school has had a proper round meal, square meal, whatever, whatever shape the meal's meant to be?
Healthy, nutritious meal. Sure. It is, you know, for us, it's still early days. Even though our school opened in January, we only started the program in September. But the impact we're already seeing is really positive. Children are really excited about getting their morning tea, lunch and afternoon tea every day. Teachers know that children have had a good lunch. And, you know, a lot of the time we're seeing calmer behaviours coming in and out, transitioning and things like that. But again, still early days, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that evolves as we continue on.
On the text line, one person says, as a 10-year-old in 1974, I went to a school in London that served hot dinners at lunch every day. It cost 72 pence a week. 72 pence a week. Oh my gosh. It was great and a response to a lot of kids coming from families with financial challenges. Rebecca, is Australia lagging behind the world when it comes to providing school lunches?
We are. We're one of the only very few developed countries globally that doesn't have a national school lunch program. You know, the experiences that we're seeing both in New Zealand and Canada at the moment, where they have traditionally used canteens and lunchboxes as the primary way that kids have food at school, they are transitioning now to introducing national school lunch programs. Back in 2006, I worked for a UK organisation called the School Food Trust, and, you know, from a public health nutrition perspective, a national lunch program, you know, it addresses equity, it addresses food insecurity, it supports health, education, you know, it really gives kids that sort of foundation and connection at school to then be ready to engage in their learning, which is good for all Australians.
What would it take to fund and roll out a national school lunch program, though?
I think what I've learnt from my international experience and, you know, the people I'm talking to or understanding the Australian context is that, you know, we can't have this set up as being 100% government funded. It needs government coordination. It does need government investment for things like kitchen infrastructure. But then that needs to be supported across all of the departments that are going to benefit: agriculture, social services, sort of training and economic development, health and education. But we also need to understand that parents and industry also have a role to play. There's a new workforce that's needed, but that actually is opportunities. We could have apprenticeships, training in schools. We can have, local volunteer or employment programs to get that workforce of that sort of dining room role. We can also work with industry to go, well, you know, how do we have different models that work for different schools? So everyone's got a role to play. And, you know, I guess what we're seeing with schools like in Victoria and Berrima and here in South Australia at Annesley Junior School, what we are finding is that a whole system can be, you know, built from the ground up. And then if we did have that sort of national coordination, that great learning and that network of information sharing can really fast track Australia into a better position.
Rebecca, Beck, thank you both so much for joining me. Beck Spink is the principal of Werri-Jerry Primary School in Victoria, and Rebecca Golley is professor of nutrition and dietetics at Flinders University.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.